Hello and welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Marco Arment of Under the Radar, Top 4, and ATP, as well as Jason Snell of Upgrade and Liftoff and a whole bunch of things, to talk about the new 16-inch MacBook Pro. Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey.
I was going to start listing your podcast, Jason, and I very quickly just bailed on that.
We don't have enough time.
Who has time? We have new laptops to talk about, or a new laptop, I suppose. So
it comes in two colors. Laptops.
That's true. Two colors, although I think silver is the way to go, but that may not be super popular.
I'm actually with you on that, and it isn't super popular.
You're the one who made me realize it, actually, because I had a space gray 13, and now my 15 is silver. It's like, I like the traditional color.
Yeah, like it, not only does it look a little old school, especially now with this new arrow keys on the keyboard, which we'll get to, I'm sure. Like, so it looks a little bit old school, but also it's kind of more like durability focused.
Yeah.
In the sense that like the space gray coating, if you get like a little scratch or a small dent on the laptop, you'll see right through and you'll see the aluminum under it. Whereas the plain silver aluminum, if you get a little scratch, you'll still see the scratch, but it's less weird looking. It's less noticeable.
Yeah, because you can go through that coating and it's like, oh, hello, bright aluminum underneath.
Exactly.
How are you? I think we're going to operate under the assumption that people listening sort of know the gist of this computer. But I wanted to talk to the two of you because y'all had press access. You've had, now as we're recording this, the machines for a couple of days. And they're not, I don't know if they're in stores at the moment, but I know they are shipping basically next week. So I kind of wanted to talk about y'all's experience with the machines and then get into a little bit of maybe the stuff behind the scenes a little bit. You know, it's an unusual thing for Apple to walk things back, and I feel like they've done that with this machine. But Jason, I want to start with you because you are primarily a desktop plus iPad user. You have an older 11-inch MacBook Air for when you need to have a Mac when you travel, but the iPad is your go-to mobile machine. So what has it been like to be using a 16-inch MacBook Pro for the last few days?
I referred to myself to somebody today as a laptop fraud, which is, I did use a Mac laptop every day as my primary for more than a decade. But the fact is that, since I kind of went out on my own, I have an 11-inch 2014 Air, and I've bought and reviewed other laptops. We have a bunch of laptops in the house. Everybody else in my family uses laptops all the time. It's less of a contrast than it was back when I was an 11-inch Air user and I was reviewing 13 and 15-inch laptops, only because now I'm using the 12.9-inch iPad Pro and often in the Bridge keyboard case, at which point it's basically a 13-inch MacBook Pro. And so it's... that said, though, 16-inch MacBook Pro, like, it's big. It's big. And that's been the biggest adaptation for me is just, you look at the keyboard and you're like, but there's like way more space beyond the keyboard to either side, as John Siracusa will never let us hear the end of. Like, what could you do with all that space? But so that's the thing that really struck me about it is the obvious one, which is like, this is the big laptop with a big screen. And what I appreciated about it was I ended up doing some work in Logic Pro. I had to edit the interview we did with the product manager for Upgrade. And while Mike edited the main show, I edited my interview and then sent it to him. And so I got to spend time in Logic, where I'm usually on a 27-inch iMac Pro. And I did a bunch of denoising using the Isotope stuff with the multi-core, like that was really fast, like on my iMac Pro. And I know Marco has talked about it too. Like, it was funny because instead of thinking about my iPad, I ended up thinking like I was working on a mobile version of my iMac Pro that I use at my desk every day.
Yeah, I'm the same as you in the sense of using a desktop. I mean, all three of us are iMac Pro users, and I opted for the 15-inch on my latest notebook. So when I do have to edit on the road, which is a fair amount, it feels like an increasing amount as time goes on, then I have as close as I can get to my regular setup. And in Logic in particular, having more screen space just makes things easier, and you can see more and deal with more things. But Marco, you come from a little bit different place. You are primarily a desktop user, but you've had a string of notebooks, and I feel like your relationship with the MacBook Pro has been strained over the last few years. So, you know, what was sort of your sort of reaction to seeing what they've done this time around?
I am just elated. Like, I can't believe how good it is after not that many changes. Like, if you look at the 16-inch compared to what it's replacing, you know, the last 3 years of USB-C only touch bar or laptops, it really isn't that different. It really didn't change that much. You know, the keyboard is the big thing. They made the speakers, the microphone better, but otherwise it's a speed bump of what we had before. Oh, and the screen is, you know, half inch bigger. But like, for the most part, it is very similar to what we already had, which I, as you mentioned, had a very rocky relationship with, because I always felt like the keyboard was just incredibly hostile towards me. Like, I clashed so hard against that keyboard. It just never worked for me. I hated every minute of using it. It didn't work well, and it was just unpleasant for me. And so they pretty much only changed the keyboard in like large, you know, major breaking changes here. They've pretty much only changed that, but that was so big and it was so bad for me before that it feels like an entirely new type of computer, even though it's very similar in all the rest of the ways.
Yeah, I would imagine having the 15-inch, which is really 15.4 inches. It's almost, you know,
right,
almost 15 and a half inches. 16 is really not that much bigger, right? Like, I would imagine side by side, if you didn't, you know, if you weren't really familiar with the 15-inch, it may even be hard to tell.
Exactly. It really is not. I mean, it's a little hard for me to say because I'm coming from, I've gone back and forth between 15 and 13 over the last few years. And my most recent one for the last year and a half has been 13. So it is giant seeming to me because I'm coming from a 13 most recently. But, you know, ultimately, I've used a lot of 15s before. And this just kind of feels like that. And it's funny, somebody on Twitter posted earlier today, if you compare the sizes of it, it is a little bit bigger than the outgoing 15-inch, you know, 2016 and forward model, but it's a little bit smaller in every dimension and a little bit lighter than the old 2015 15-inch. So it's actually between the two in size. Yeah. And so if the previous, you know, 2015, if the 2012 to 2015 model, which I named the best laptop I've ever made, if that one was good for you size-wise, this is actually smaller and lighter than that, but it does have a slightly bigger screen and, you know, all the, you know, much more modern, much faster internals and everything like that. So yeah, the size wise, it just feels like a 15 inch to me. It's the size that we had for a long time.
Pretend that there was no laptop, no MacBook Pro released between 2015 and now. And now this new one is a little bit smaller and lighter and has a bigger screen.
And
the keyboard is similar,
that.
A little bit different, but similar. And, so that's fine. Who cares about keyboards
anyway? And
now it
has Touch ID and this weird touch bar thing in the middle, but I can mostly avoid it.
Yeah.
If you've been in some sort of laptop coma for the last 3 years, then you woke up like, oh, this is what's happened when I was gone.
Are people in a laptop coma like folded into a clamshell? Anyway.
I don't.
Oh, wow.
That's you're going to be sore. Your back's, you're really going to feel that in your back.
Yeah. On your hinge. Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the internals a bit because it's and we will talk about the keyboard, but the internals are an interesting story here as well, because I don't think they've gone the full iMac Pro, which is the iMac case, but radically different inside as far as cooling. But they have made the notebook thicker. I think they've said it's an additional 12 watts or so of TDP inside the chassis. It is a more geared towards what Intel honestly needs as they continue to struggle with smaller processes. So is the thickness a big deal? Is it noticeable? And what is the power like in the real world? What does it feel like beyond just the spec sheet?
I would say the thickness is not noticeable because, you know, it's 1 millimeter thicker than the last one. 1 millimeter for something that's the size of a laptop is not incredibly noticeable. And for, you know, for actual performance, it is really close to an iMac Pro in lots of ways. I mean, this is obviously going to depend on your workload. It's going to depend on the configuration you pick. Like I'm comparing a top of the line CPU in this 16-inch MacBook Pro to my middle of the line iMac Pro at 10 cores. So it's like, it's not a fair comparison, but also the iMac Pro is 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And the CPUs in it are 2 years old, and you know this is brand new and has more modern cores in it. So it is not a great, easy comparison. It's not a perfectly fair comparison, and it's not a super simple comparison. But in general, it is incredibly good performance, and it should be competitive with the best desktops with a lot of types of workloads.
How's the noise?
It's noticeable, I would say. I mean, in the demo room, and I know Marco talked about this on ATP, they were doing this thing where they had like two Pro Display XDRs, and they were doing this video work and processing it and showing us the power of it. And as everybody was turning to leave, I had been hearing this hum through the entire thing. And I went to see, like, is it like construction outside in New York City? Is it the displays? And then I realized, no, that's the laptop. And I said, wow, those are laptop fans. And the guy who had done the demo, and keeping in mind the demo was over, people are leaving, he was like, oh yeah, that's like, those are the fans. It's there. I don't know. I found it's, I hear a lot of laptop fans because I have to remove them from podcasts a lot. it seemed, because they changed the impellers and all that, it seemed like a little bit more of a, this is going to be weird because we have to make up words for this stuff, but a little bit more of like a blowing, like, I don't even know, more blowy and less whiny, if that makes sense, but it's very noticeable.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I mean, some laptop fans are like,
right.
And this is more just like somebody's in there like blowing out leaves. Like, mm-hmm. See, yeah, some sound effects for you.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I don't have any experience with the outgoing 6 and 8 core 15 inch, the one you have, Stephen. Mm-hmm. I don't have any experience with that, so I really can't say whether it's like the same or louder or quieter. My guess, based on how it is behaving so far, is it's probably very similar. I hear the fan spin up sometimes with what I'm doing, but not frequently. I'm planning on doing the exact same trick that I've been doing with the 13 inch that I've had for a couple of years, or for a year and a half now, which is I use an app called Turbo Boost Switcher Pro. Mm-hmm. That you can toggle Turbo Boost on or off. And it, when you turn Turbo Boost off, and there's like a cool setting where you can have it like automatically turn off if you're running on battery, and then turn it back on when you're plugged in. With Turbo Boost off, any modern Intel CPU, you lose about a third of your performance, roughly. But it also dramatically reduces the heat and power needs of the processor at those peak states. And it makes it just run a lot cooler and a lot quieter. And with Turbo Boost disabled on this new one, I started doing this testing this afternoon, with Turbo Boost disabled, I cannot get the fan to spin up. And so, and this is on the 8-core, the highest CPU, the 2.4 8-core i9. I can't get the fan to spin up with my building benchmark with Turbo Boost off. And it spins up every time for a few seconds in the middle of the same benchmark with Turbo Boost turned on. So I'm playing with that a little bit, and there's also utilities that allow you to control the fan speeds and to speed up the fan, it reaches a certain temperature. Like if you can monitor, like with Intel Power Gadget, you can monitor all this crazy nerdy stuff. Thermal wise, it seems like it reaches a certain temperature before it kicks the fans up. This is fairly normal. And if you run certain utilities, you can adjust when that happens to make the fan spin up earlier, which can keep the peak temperature down. So like one thing I don't like when I'm working on a laptop is I don't like when it starts getting hot, my hands get sweaty. Like if the keyboard is radiating heat, then my hands get sweaty and it becomes harder to use and less pleasant. And so I'd rather keep the laptop running cool. And so sometimes I will actually want the fans to run a little bit faster to keep the temperature low, to keep the heat output low also. So there's all sorts of fun stuff to play with here, but overall it seems, thermally, it seems like it's roughly in the same class as what it's replacing. It's not radically different. It might be slightly improved because of the new design and everything, but it seems like it's a revision, not a replacement.
Yeah, I have the i9, and my experience is exactly what you described, because I also run the program to kill the Turbo Boost when I'm on battery, and when that thing is set to disable Turbo Boost, I don't hear the fans hardly at all. And I've really got to be doing something bananas. And usually at that point, if I hear the fans, I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to actually enable Turbo Boost so this goes quicker. But it really does make a big difference. And It seems like it is more or less in line with the outgoing model. Another big change inside, though, is the GPU. It still has the integrated Intel GPU, but on the sort of discrete side, the AMD chipset is it seems like a much bigger deal than what used to be there. Marco, I'm kind of like you, where I don't really follow the GPU landscape all that much, but in talking to some other people who do, this does seem like a pretty competitive chipset for this class of notebook. And yes, you can put beefier cards if you have a beefier laptop, but in this sort of form factor, it seems like there's actually a pretty good option. And Apple's numbers certainly back that up, where they are claiming in some workflows substantial increases in power. And as technology continues to change and a lot of workloads that these machines are asked to do, GPU is a big deal, because a lot of video editing, a lot of rendering can happen off CPU onto those graphics processors. So I don't know if Apple is competitive at the very top end with, you know, like gaming PC notebooks, but it seems like for content creators, this is a big step up.
This is also, you know, I like it when Apple announces something and there's kind of like a launch product in it. Like, that's always a great sign when this is the first product out with this. And that's my understanding about this GPU series, is like these are the launch products for this new GPU series. And they'll be in all sorts of PC laptops too, but I think this is the first product to ship with it. And so, you know, they get the press release from AMD and, you know, all of that. And it's going from a 14 nanometer process down to a 7 nanometer mm-hmm. process. Like, these are hot. The chips that are in here, I mean, hot in the cool sense. Oh boy, metaphors. Oh. hot in the amazingly wow, it's new sense, and not
there you go.
also in the, they probably are very hot. Mm-hmm. But it's that's good, because like the processors are the same ninth generation core processor family that was in the MacBook Pro update this spring.
Right.
But these GPUs are hot off the presses from AMD.
Apple's done a pretty decent job, I think, with this generation of notebooks, starting in 2016, where they have been spec bumping it on a pretty regular basis. We had a new notebook, obviously, in 2016, but then 2017, 2018, and then May of 2019, which is when the new 15s came out. And that's been really refreshing. I know there's always pain. I got an email from somebody today, like, I bought a new machine in August, like a loaded machine, and now this comes out. Like, well, that's always possible. This window was a little bit shorter, but I'm encouraged by the redesign of the thermal system that they could keep that up. It really felt like my machine, it's like, you can't put much hotter stuff in here. Like, it's putting an i9 in that chassis, Intel hasn't been able to shrink as far as they want to. May have been pushing it. I feel like this buys this design more time, if you will.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, Intel, they had so many problems getting to their next process node, and they're still not there yet. These are still, what is it, 14 nanometer or whatever they've been stuck on for a while, these are still that. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, officially, if you believe them, I think the replacement that will finally be on the smaller process node and therefore be more power efficient and everything, I think that's coming out like in 6 months or a year, something like that, sometime next year. So if you're the kind of person who only buys every, you know, 3 to 5 years, say, and you want something that's going to be like really awesome and really ideal, and you can wait, that might be worth waiting for, just because the version of this laptop chassis that will have that CPU in it is probably going to come out in, you know, 6 to 9 months maybe, and that will probably have a noticeable boost in battery life, and probably it'll run a little bit cooler and everything. So like, that's probably going to be a better machine overall, but you always run this risk. It's like, there's always new stuff coming out in 6 to 12 months. There's always every mm-hmm. whatever you want to buy, there's always going to be, well, you know, if you can buy it, but it's probably going to be, you know, people say the word obsolete, and that's not what that word means. It's probably going to be no longer the newest, best model in 6 to 12 months, no matter what you buy, when you buy it, right? Unless you buy a Mac Mini, that thing will last forever because they never update it. But but otherwise, you know, whatever you buy from Apple, it has a limited lifespan.
Let's do it. Let's get into the keyboard. This is obviously a huge topic on ATP this week. On Upgrade, your interview was a lot about this as well. Based on that interview, it seems like Apple at some point in the past, I'm not sure they've been clear on when, realized that they needed to revisit the keyboard. And of course, every iteration we just spoke about, they've tinkered with it. So like the 2019 keyboard, new materials, has the membrane. Mine has been fine, but I don't use it every day. But they've been trying to get the butterfly keyboard more reliable while at the same time in the background working on this. And they did, I think, what a lot of us wanted, which was turn to the Magic Keyboard, which is what I use, what a lot of people use. And it's a solid keyboard. I've had the same one since 2015 when it came out, and I'm not gentle with it, and it's been totally bulletproof. They have not copy and pasted that into this laptop. There are changes. Jason, could you explain a little bit how this keyboard seems to be different than the desktop version of the Magic Keyboard?
Well, I mean, Apple goes out and says, even though this is called Magic Keyboard, they said it was inspired by, and I think the way they phrase it is also a little weird, inspired by the Magic Keyboard that is the extended Magic Keyboard that's on the iMac Pro, which is weird because, like, how different is that from the Magic Keyboard that we've had since 2015? I don't know. I think that's just some weird marketing. But anyway, it's inspired by, which means they, I don't know, I sort of read that as, here's a keyboard we introduced in 2015 that people didn't hate. Let's maybe go back to that one and see how that, because seriously, in 2015, both of these keyboards came out. And in fact, the Butterfly came out on the MacBook first. And everybody's like, oh no, I hope this isn't the future of MacBook keyboards across the line. And then the Magic Keyboard came out and everybody's like, this is a good sign. They know how to make a good keyboard. And then we know what happened. And so we're sort of like jumping back in time now. But it is inspired by. It is a laptop keyboard. It is not a desktop keyboard. Desktop keyboards, they have some pitch. The top rows are higher off your desktop than the bottom rows are. There's like an angle. Laptop keyboards don't work like that. They say that they made some modifications to it. It is a scissor switch, but I don't know if it's even the same one or close to the same one that's in the Magic Keyboard. I think, so again, you know, it's not like they took the Magic Keyboard and made a couple of changes. I think they used it as a touchstone in their design, and they wanted to reuse the name because it sends a message of, like, you know, that keyboard we make you like, this is that kind of keyboard and not the bad kind, without saying that the other kind is bad. So that's what they're doing. And they also did make a change where they said that they've got this new thing where there's like a dome, and then it locks into the keycap. And what that means is that when you're at the top and you press down, it gives you some key stability, because Apple feels very strongly that having wiggly key tops is bad. There's more travel. It's not as much travel as the Magic Keyboard, again, which was like a millimeter and a half, and this is a millimeter, but the previous laptop, the Butterfly Keyboard, was about a little more than half a millimeter, so it's almost twice as much travel. And they're spaced out in part because, so the space between the keycaps is more, in part because of the geometry of it, that if you're pushing the key down a half a millimeter more, you need to go down into the depths a little bit more. It's more likely that the rest of your finger is going to graze against the keyboard next to it. And they said that was the reason they needed to push the keys apart a little bit more in order to not have you mistype it. So there's a lot going on here, but its relationship with the Magic Keyboard of old is, I think, more branding and inspiration than actual.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, it really does feel fairly similar, like in practice, but it is technically very different. But that's fine. You know, what matters here is that they replaced a very problematic keyboard that a lot of people didn't like and had reliability problems with one that we don't know about reliability yet, but like odds are in their favor. Scissor keyboards are fairly easy to make. Reliable. They've been reliable for like decades now. Like, we've had scissor keyboards for a long time, and they're a pretty straightforward, pretty easy thing to engineer. They've made some changes, some improvements here and there, but I think they've probably learned their lesson there. And I would say too, like the key spacing is, I think, underrated in how important it is to how a keyboard feels. And one of the easiest, most clear things that shows this to me is that all these years of hating the Butterfly keyboards on the MacBook Pros, I've been fairly satisfied with the iPad Pro Smart Cover keyboards. Those have the exact same travel. They have 0.5 millimeter travel, same as the Butterfly keyboards, but they have radically different key shapes. And the shapes are much smaller. the total area of the keyboard is about the same, but the keys have more space between them. And so it feels totally different to use one of those smart cover keyboards compared to a MacBook Pro keyboard, even though it is the exact same travel as the Butterfly MacBook Pros. And I always found those to be, I find the smart covers to be way better, way easier, and I'm more accurate when typing on them. And I think it's just, it's got to be like just that difference of the spacing and like the material that the keycap is made of and the shape, like all those things matter so much. And I think also one major area that the Butterfly suffered on that the new Magic, I guess Magic Keyboard, whatever the new laptop Magic Keyboard is significantly improved is, you know, not only the arrow keys having the inverted T, which makes the arrow keys a lot easier for your fingers to find. Because, like, if you figure your fingers are on the home row most of the time or in the home row area, when you reach over to the right to go to the arrow keys, you're moving your hand. You're like leaving the home row partly. And so you have to reorient your hand somehow. Yep. And what makes the inverted T so good for that, for this purpose, is that it feels like you can feel those gaps that are above the left and right arrows. You can feel that. It feels totally different. So your hand can figure out where it is by feel much more easily than if those gaps aren't there. And this is one area where, like, the iPad smart cover always didn't work very well for me, even though the rest of it did, because it had the non-inverted T layout where those keys are the same height. And then finally, I think a major area that makes the arrow keys feel a lot better here is that the Butterfly mechanism was, it seemed like it was optimized for like the regular size keys, like most of the letter keys, like the regular size keys, but it had problems with very big and very small keys. This is one of the reasons I think why the space bar was so often a problem for the reliability issues. In addition to being frequently used, I think the spacebar had to have like a couple of different Butterfly switches spread across it, and so it would just kind of like increase the chance of problems. And the arrow keys were so tiny that they always felt different with the Butterflies, and in my opinion, they felt terrible. Like the arrow keys, it almost felt like you were breaking them in regular use because they had so little mechanics under them compared to the other keys. And this is another area, like the scissor mechanisms are much easier to work on all different size keys and to work reliably and to feel fairly similar. And this is a major area where like those up and down arrows feel so much better on this new keyboard than they ever did on the Butterfly. The Butterfly, you just felt like you were breaking them by touching them. And this one, they click with the same feel and the same feedback and the same, you know, definitiveness and stability as every other key on the keyboard.
It's such an interesting step back. The only thing I can really think of sort of in recent history is the terrible iPod Shuffle with no buttons. Like, people like the buttons, yep, and they put them back on. And it's, I commend Apple for doing that. And it took a long time. I think they've explained why it took a long time. And I hope that they can slowly kind of rebuild the credibility that they have lost with their notebooks. I think a part of that has started now, but I think sort of part two of that is getting this on the other machines as quickly as possible. I personally hope that the 13-inch gets the same treatment, that the 13-inch MacBook Pro becomes the 14-inch MacBook Pro, or if they go up 0.6 inches, I guess it'd be 13.9-inch MacBook Pro. That would be really a really interesting machine, help keep it a little bit spaced away from the MacBook Air a bit. But I'm hopeful that we see these keyboards turned around pretty quickly on the other machines. Do either of y'all have any thoughts on when we might see that?
It's got to be, I mean, next time. I would imagine there'll be a 13 replacement, I would say, in the spring. I feel like it's going to happen sooner rather than later, because I think they want to clear this out. They want to get it out of the Pro line, at least. As for the MacBook Air, I think it's an open question, because they definitely are talking about this keyboard in the context of professional users. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is a scare factor about the Apple keyboard. So here's the thing. If there wasn't such terrible PR and they had solved the reliability problems on the Butterfly keyboard, I think that there is a stronger chance that the MacBook Air might just keep that final new materials keyboard for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I think if I were Apple, I would be so worried about the perception issue that Apple's keyboards are unreliable that I would just say, you know what, we just have to bag it and put this new keyboard in everything, just because it lets us say, you know, because your friends are saying, don't buy that one because it's still got the bad keyboard. Even if they've actually fixed the reliability issues with it, it may just be a lost cause. So whenever they update the Air again, you know, I would, if I had to put money on it, I would put money on the fact that there will never again be an Apple laptop with this mechanism, or at least in the next generation of updates.
With the butterfly mechanism.
With the butterfly, yeah. Other than, you know, maybe that ARM MacBook that might never happen, but something like that, maybe it's got the new materials one. But again, at this point, I feel like it's so damaged as a brand, just like even if it is great and works fine, that you're still going to have people saying, no, you don't want that keyboard, that you can't trust that keyboard. And it's kind of like they couldn't, even if they fix it now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I feel like there's also other issues too. Like you know, people are worried with this release, the way some of the comments that Phil Schiller has made to like in that CNET interview, and some of the way the marketing has been, that yeah, it does seem like they're saying this is the Pro keyboard, which suggests, and Phil said some comment about how like they're developing both in parallel, which suggests that that they might keep this as only a Pro keyboard and still offer laptops with the butterfly even going forward, even in next revisions. So there is that risk, but I think that could just be the way they are spinning the PR for this release, because they are still, regardless of what they're working on for future models, the fact is they're still selling a lot of butterfly keyboard models in stores for probably at least the next 6 months. You know, so they still have a lot of sales to make and people who own these things to keep satisfied. And so,
right. So
there's all these issues of like, you know, they can't just come out and say today, oh yeah, we're done with the butterfly, it sucked, we're gonna do something else like forever. Like, they can't say that today, even if it is the case. And I think ultimately, like, the 13 inch, yeah, definitely it should get this. The Air is the only real question about like whether it should and will get this. And you can say, like, you know, it's a smaller case, maybe it makes the extra trade-off of size, you know, versus necessarily usability, and so maybe it deserves the butterfly. Or you can say people who buy the Air maybe don't care about good keyboards, which I think is a crap argument, but that is kind of what Apple has said. But there's also the issue of cost and repairability, and that's where it's especially important in the Air, because the Air is a value product used by value-conscious customers for a very long time, oftentimes very like physically demanding in customers' environments, like kids in schools and everything, where like something has to be especially durable and especially repairable, and value matters a lot to a lot of those customers. And so from those points of view, the butterfly keyboard is not only less repairable and much more expensive to repair when you need to, but also, it is more expensive, I think, for Apple. Like, I remember we heard back when the 12-inch first came out, which was the first butterfly keyboard, I heard from a number of various tipsters and stuff back then that the manufacturing yields on it were especially low, and that it was a very complex keyboard to make, and it was a very expensive keyboard to make. And I don't know if they've fixed those problems since then. I'm sure they've improved somewhat, but the butterfly mechanism might be so delicate and so complex and requiring such tight tolerances, it might just inherently and forever be a more expensive mechanism to produce, even if they work perfectly and you don't need a bunch of expensive warranty repairs, which that's a big if. But if that's the case, if the butterfly keyboard is super expensive to produce compared to a scissor keyboard, which is, I think, pretty cheap, you know, relatively speaking, then Apple might want to ditch it from the Air just for cost reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, why should the cheapest laptop have the most expensive keyboard? So there's all sorts of factors that could come into play here besides, like, you know, wanting to keep things separate for various, like, market segmentation reasons. I'm guessing the scissor keyboard is so much better in so many ways. Like, you know, it's more agreeable to people. It's more reliable, probably. It's probably way cheaper for warranty service. I'm guessing that the butterfly keyboard era is completely over within a year, because I don't, even in the low end ones like the Air, I don't see Apple wanting to keep the butterflies around. They're just too expensive.
I think you're right, and I'm not too worried about that language of, oh, this is a Pro keyboard, for the reason you said. The reality is they're going to sell more butterfly keyboards than these for a while, because the MacBook Air and the 13-inch MacBook Pro combined, I'd bet good money outsell the 15-inch by a pretty healthy clip. Now, there may be some pent-up demand right now in the 15, but I think in a regular quarter, those smaller machines are going to outrun it. But it is, it's just an interesting time, because you can see how they could go either direction, but I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt and believe that this keyboard will make it to everything next year, because they've been on such a tear of trying to fix right what was wrong in the Mac's house for so long. Any parting thoughts before I let you guys go?
You realize you're going to get one of these, right?
I don't want to talk about that.
You're going to get it. Like, you're going to do the exact same thing I'm going to do. You're going to buy it now. You're going to love it. You're going to get rid of all your butterflies. And then in the spring, when we get the 13 or 14 one, you're going to buy that too.
Hmm.
And you're going to say, oh, it's so great to go back to the 13 or 14 size. The 15 was too big. Like, and look, I'm going to do the exact same thing probably. So, you know, people can make fun of us together.
Yep.
Well, we'll
that's
see.
That's going to happen.
We'll see how that goes. No one has any faith in me.
Just accept it. Embrace it.
You're going to have that moment where you need to travel somewhere and do a show or something, and you're going to be like, maybe.
Yeah, that'll probably be what happens. But we'll see. Time will tell. I am extremely interested in a 14-inch, especially if it's an even 14. That was such a sweet size back in the day. I mean, they used to make a 14-inch notebook in the PowerBook line, and they made a 14-inch iBook, which was a terrible machine. I don't know if you, Jason probably knows this. I don't know if you do, Marco. When they made the 14-inch iBook, it was the same
resolution.
Yes. Same resolution as the 12, so it was super muddy.
At Macworld, we called that the large print edition, because it's like literally the only reason you would get it is because you wanted bigger dots on the screen, because that's all you got were bigger dots.
My mom had that one for that reason, and she loved it.
For those who don't know what large print edition means, because, boy, I have to explain a lot of things now, books are paper things that have words in them, and if you have bad vision, back in the day, many books had a large print edition where it was literally the same book with a bigger font size. Those people just use Kindles now. But back in the day, that was what you did. And that iBook was, but there was a market for it, I guess. Otherwise, why would they have made it?
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me. I know all you've done this week is think and talk about this MacBook Pro. So I appreciate you carving out a little more time for us.
Yep.
It's a big deal.
It is.
And anyway, that's also a way of saying my pleasure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. It's a milestone. This is going to be the one we point to and say, thus began the next generation of Apple's laptops. It's a big deal.
Yeah, I think so too. This is a show for Relay FM members. If you're not a Relay FM member and you're listening to this, you should go check out the membership program, relay.fm/membership.
Cheaters.
You can pick a show to support. I would strongly recommend Under the Radar, Top 4, or Upgrade, since that's what these guys are on. Go check out those shows. I got a bunch of links in the show notes. Go find these two if for some reason you haven't already listened to everything they've done this week. Y'all have been very busy. Please go take a nap. And until next month, adios.
Okay, so top 4 keyboard upgrade features. 1, it's the scissor mechanism. 2, inverted T. 3, physical escape key, and 4, slightly wider apart. I don't know. That's my top 4.
I might go slightly wider apart as number 1.
Whoa.
And arrows number 2, and travel number 3, escape key number 4.
I think the mechanism has to be number 1 just because, like, it is from all of the rest. By the way, I know that they moved the touch bar a little bit away, but I was at the specs page for the old laptop while I was writing my story, and I kept wondering why, and I was at my show doc, that's what it was the show doc for Upgrade, and I kept wondering why I kept going back to the main Google Docs screen, and I realized that my finger was grazing on the back button on Safari on the touch bar again and again and again until I removed it from the touch bar. But yeah, there's a lot. There's more than 4 things we could say about that keyboard.
What's important is that it's better.
I hope y'all were still recording for that, because I definitely wouldn't put that in.
Yep, I was.